All of creation is groaning. Can you hear it? Everything. The animals, the birds, people. Yes, even the inanimate earth itself, the rocks and the stones, the deserts and the dry places, the grasslands and everything is groaning. We are all deeply groaning. The Messiah is coming. He has come and he is coming again. When he was first peopled, the people shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And as Luke records at the same time during that triumphal entry, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." The Messiah has come, yet he will be coming again to complete what he began. So we still hear the groaning. This is how Paul put it. The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We know as well as Paul that that redemption is coming. The Messiah who came once to save us from our sins will come again to restore our bodies and the world itself. We know this from our Old Testament text, Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah depicts not only people as gladdened by the Messiah's coming, but even the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Yes, even the land itself would rejoice at the coming of God's Messiah. If the people were told not to, even the very stones would have cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Interestingly, both the wilderness depicted here and the untamed animals mentioned at the end of our text, the ravenous lions and beasts, are both a result of the fall and descent. Thorns and thistles, often depicted with wilderness and dry places, came about directly after the fall in chapter 3. And man and beast were not permitted to eat meat until after Noah had sailed on the ark. Isaiah mentions not only the redemption of Israel, but of even creation several times in his book of prophecy. He says in two different places that the wolf will lie with the lamb. And here again we find him talking about the creation itself, waiting for that redemption, waiting for that second coming of the Messiah. But while the Messiah has come the first time, the wilderness is still waiting and groaning for his second coming. The desert places still produce thorns and thistles, and animals are still not tame. And if you need a good example of that, you can think a few months ago about the child with the gorilla in the zoo. This Advent, we have been hearing how we are in a time to sing. And we do. But not because everything has already been completed. The Messiah has most certainly come. He has most certainly died for your sins, and you do have the forgiveness of sins. But everything has not yet been completed. We still live in divided bodies, having the desire to do what is good, but not the ability to carry it out. The world also has not yet been restored. So we sing, as it were, as a foretaste of the feast to come. Many of you have caught on to the fact that on midweek Wednesday services, we sing Christmas hymns. Not every Lutheran pastor does that. But we sing them as a foretaste of the feast to come. We sing them, we sing one Christmas hymn on midweek services, and not more than one. Because we have the joy, but not the joy in its fullness. We have the joy of one song during midweek and Advent, but we'll have many, many more on Christmas and following. Just as right now we have the forgiveness of sins, but we'll have that much more joy when Christ returns, when the Messiah comes again. We will be able to do and to sing when the Messiah comes that second time so much more and so much more beautifully. Then we will be living in a fertile land, one like Canaan was described in the Old Testament, a land flowing with milk and honey, and a land like the lands of Carmel and Sharon, which the commentary writers say were known for their fertility. Carmel and Sharon were both known for their fertility, just like the lands of Canaan. And God continues to speak through his prophet Isaiah as we continue our text. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. As when the Israelites were about to enter the lands of Canaan, and the Lord commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous and to not fear, so he also tells us today in our text, we do not need to fear. He tells us to be strong and firm, especially in our hands and our knees. Which if you have ever been afraid, you'll note that some of your first body parts to start to shake are your hands and your knees. And we are told we don't need to do that. We don't need to fear. We know rightly that we are sinners, and so we, like those who met with angels in the Christmas story, were first afraid because they knew of their sinfulness. Just as the angels told them, you don't need to be afraid, God tells us through Isaiah, we need to fear not as well. God has paid for your sin. It has been taken completely away. The Messiah about whom Isaiah had prophesied has come, and he has died for your sins. You bear them no more. What is more, the Messiah came to show that restoration was and is coming. Isaiah prophesied that the eyes of the blind would be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, that the lame man would leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And in our gospel text, we see some of those things already beginning to happen. That's what the Messiah himself tells the disciples of John when they come to ask, are you the one that we are to wait for? He tells them, go and tell John what you see and you hear, that the blind are indeed seeing, that the deaf indeed have their ears unstopped, the lame men are able to walk, and so on and so forth. The Messiah at his first coming began the work of restoration by taking away our sins. But he also did these few acts to show us what he would ultimately do at the end of time. When he would come again, he would restore everything, the entire world, and in fact, all of creation. As he has shown us through not only making the blind see and the deaf to hear, but even raising the very dead. He told John's disciples that the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Ultimately, everyone will be raised at the second coming of the Messiah. Isaiah also prophesies this. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The path to everlasting life is a highway, which Isaiah also mentioned a few verses earlier. He wrote that a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. But be warned, the unclean shall not pass over it. So how is it then that we become clean? We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of the Messiah who was to come and has come that first time already. He has come and died for our sins, mine and yours. In the faith we have received from his Spirit, we believe in him and that he is the way, the very way of holiness that Isaiah proclaimed. And as we heard last week, it does not matter if you are a lifelong member or a new member, a new convert to the faith. As the passage says, even if they are fools, that is, if they are newcomers to the faith, they shall not go astray. In the blood of his Messiah, God will not let any who have come to faith fall or be snatched out of his hands. Instead, the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. This season of Advent, we are indeed in a time of singing. We sing of the joy to come in and through the Messiah of God. And we've seen that that joy in part has already come, having a foretaste of Christmas before it is here, and a foretaste of the joy of life everlasting before we receive it in its fullness when the Messiah returns. Continue to sing in joy, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.